Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you for your word. And I ask, Father, that you be with us and anoint us today, because this is a wonderful revelation of confessing and confessing your word and holding fast to that confession. And Father, I ask that you give us wisdom and knowledge into the things that you'd have us to talk about today. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. That's what I want to talk about is number two, and hold fast your confession. How am I truly going to walk with God unless I agree with God? And to agree with God is to say the same thing God says in his word about salvation, healing, answers to prayer, and this overcoming life. And I agree with God that I am who God says I am, his heaven-born child. I am a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ. And I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. And I disagree with the devil that tells me that I'm no good, that I'm a failure, that I'm a weakling, and that I'm going under. And I agree with God and disagree with the devil that keeps telling me that. How may I walk with God in power, blessing, and usefulness? Well, I do that by agreeing with God that I have what he says I have, his name, his nature, and his power, his authority, his love, and I agree that I have what God says in his word that I do have. Genesis 5:24 says, Enoch walked with God, so do I, by agreeing that I have received the ability to do what God says I can do. I witness with power, I cast out demons, and I minister his healing power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ. And I agree with that. I can do what God says in his book that I can do. And if I speak only what my senses dictate, I'm not going to be agreeing with God. It is speaking the word only is how I agree with God. It's the confession of faith that's my victory. And to walk with God, I disagree with the devil. And Jesus did that by boldly declaring every time, it is written, he tell that devil. And I resist the devil by the word of God daily. I walk with God by agreeing with God and his word. Because he said it, I can boldly say it. Glory to God. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as ye have, for himself hath said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee, so that with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? You know, we walk in the light of our testimony, and our faith never goes beyond what we confess with our mouth. The word becomes real only as we confess its reality. This reason for this is we walk by faith and not by sight. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Sense knowledge is only going to confess what it saw, what it heard, or what it felt. And the people who are seeking experiences always walk by the senses. And our testimony of the reality of the word is feared by Satan himself. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, folks, that reacts on our hearts just as doubt spoken by the lips reacts on our hearts. And when you talk of your doubts and your fears, you destroy your faith. And when you talk about your trials and your difficulties, of your lack of faith, of your lack of money, your faith shrivels up and loses that boldness and fearlessness that you're going to need. Your whole spirit life shrinks. When you talk of the ability of the Father that is yours, you fill your lips with praise for answers to prayers that you have asked. And its reaction upon the heart, folks, is tremendous. Faith grows by leaps and bounds when you do that. And you study what you are in Christ, and then you confess it boldly with your mouth. You act on the word in the face of sense knowledge. Regardless of appearance, you take your stand, you make your confession, and you hold fast to it in the face of all impossibilities. You see, faith doesn't ask for possible things. Faith is demanding the impossible. Prayers is never for the possible, but always for the thing that is out of reason. It's out of your touch. It's out of human understanding. It is God who is at work with us. It is God who is at work in us and for us. Romans 8:32 says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, we're launching out into that realm of the impossible, just like Abraham did when he asked for a son. You're not asking for something you can't do, you can do for yourself, but something that's beyond your reason. Then you refuse to take counsel with fear or to have doubt and unbelief in your mind. You know, some of the hardest battles that I have ever fought have been along that line. The greatest battles that I ever won have been those that seemed the most impossible, when there was the greatest opposition, where reason was discredited by faith. And I held fast to my confession, and the word was made good, glory to God. So we need to confess our dominion over disease in Jesus' name and never be frightened or scared by any condition. And it doesn't make any difference how impossible it may seem. It might be cancer. It might be tuberculosis. It might be an accident, which death seems to be the complete master of that situation. But you never give in. You know that you and God are masters of the situation. And you never for a moment lose your confession of your supremacy over the works of the adversary. This disease, this calamity is not of God, and it has but one source, and that's Satan. In Jesus' name, you are master. You have taken Jesus' place, and you're acting in his stead. You fearlessly take your position. You confess your ability in Christ to meet any emergency that comes up. Always remember that Jesus met defeat and conquered it. And you are facing defeat everywhere as a master. Don't let down. Keep that solid front. Philippians 1:27-28 in the Amplified says, only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that will be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I do come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind, striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, and in no way be alarmed or intimidated in anything by your opponents, for such constancy and fearlessness on your part is a clear sign, a proof, and a seal for them of their impending destruction, but a clear sign for you of deliverance and salvation, and that too from God. That solid front spoken of in Colossians 2 and 5 is a solid front presented to your enemy. Yet in spirit I am present with you and am delighted to witness your good discipline and solid front presented by your faith in Christ, Amplified. Folks, you can't be conquered. Your spirit is whispering, no, in all these things I am more than a conqueror, glory to God. And every disease, folks, is of the enemy. All kinds of sin are of the enemy. And all opposition to the glad tidings is of the enemy. God and I myself are victors. Greater is he that is in me than this opposition or this disease. That's all you got to remember. There's no need that is greater than our Lord, is there? And there's no lack that he can't meet, right? This indomitable will that God has brought about in us cannot be overwhelmed or conquered, I'm telling you. You remember what you are. You're a new creation. You are a branch of the vine. You are an heir of God. You are united with him. You and he are one, and he is the greater part of that one. There's no such thing as conquering God when his instrument refuses to admit that the enemy can overwhelm him. Folks, we're that instrument. Philippians 4:1 says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. You know, folks, we're defeated with our own lips most of the time. You said that you could not, and the moment you said it, you were whipped. You said that you did not have faith, and doubt rose like a giant and bound you up in it. Folks, we're imprisoned by our own words. We talk failure, and failure holds us in bondage. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. You know, too few of us realize that our words dominate us. We ought not to never fear failure, never talk defeat, never for a moment acknowledge that God's ability can put you over. He always can put you over the top. He's an overcoming God. He'll help you to overcome. Become God inside minded. And remember this, that greater is he that is in you than any force that can come against you. Remembering that God created a universe with just his words. And that words are mightier than tanks or bombs, mightier than the army or the navy. And so we need to learn to use words so that they'll work for us and be our servants. And learn that our lips can make us a millionaire or a pauper, wanted or despised, a victor or a captive. And our words can be filled with faith that will stir heaven and make men want to be around you. And remember that you can fill your words with love so that they will melt the coldest heart and warm and heal the broken and discouraged. In other words, your words can become what you wish them to be. You can make them rhyme. You can fill them with rhythm, or you can fill them with hatred, with poison, or you can make them breathe the very fragrance of heaven. Now you can see vividly what your confession can mean to your own heart. Your faith will never register above the words of your lips. And it's not so bad to think a thing as it is to say it. Thoughts come, and they might persist in staying there. But if you refuse to put them into words, they're going to die unborn. So we need to cultivate the habit of thinking big things and then learn to use words that'll react upon our own spirit and make us conquerors. Amen. Jesus' confession proved to be reality. Faith's confessions create realities. Jesus confessed that he was the light of the world. He was it. The rejection of him has plunged the world into a new darkness. He said he was the bread from heaven, and it's true, folks. The people who have fed upon his words have never suffered want. His words build faith as we act on them and let them live in us. His words were filled with himself. As we act on them, they fill us with Christ. His words feed faith and causes it to grow in power in us. The believer's words should be born of love and filled with love. Our lips, folks, are taking the place of Jesus' lips. And our words should never bruise or hurt, but they ought to be blessings and healings. Because Jesus was the way, the reality, and the light. We're taking his place. We're showing the way. We're confessing the reality. Enjoying the life. And you're never going to enjoy what you are in Christ until his love rules your lips. And don't say I can't when God says you can't. That phrase, I can't, is nowhere in the Bible. So we need to speak God's language. Say what His words say. Harmonize with heaven by affirming God's word. Don't say I can't receive my healing, but boldly speak it. I can receive my healing, for with His stripes I am healed. And I can receive my healing because Jesus said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hands have been laid upon me, so I am healed. Don't say I can't pay my bills. Rather, declare it emphatically. I can pay my bills, for God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I can pay my bills because my God supplies the money to meet every need of my life. And don't say I can't witness in power. I'm so weak and anemic as a Christian, and when it comes to giving my testimony. So we need to defeat that negative statement by affirming, yes, I can witness in power, for I have received the Holy Spirit into my life. And Jesus said, I will have power when I possess the mighty indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I can share my testimony. I can witness for Christ and the message of His salvation with great effectiveness because I am energized by the mighty Holy Spirit from heaven. And don't ever say I just can't get my prayers answered, because that kind of expression will close the heavens to your life right there. With bold assurance, speak out, I can receive the answers to my prayers. For Jesus said that whatsoever I ask the Father in His name, He's going to give it to me. And I can receive mighty answers from God. For He has promised, if I would call unto Him, He would answer me and show me great and mighty things. I know I can receive the answers to my prayers, for this is my confidence in Him, that whatsoever I ask, I receive of Him, because I keep His commandments, and I do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and I have an open pathway to heaven with my words. And don't say I can't see my loved ones one to Christ. That's a lie of the devil. For you to speak it is to invite the devil in to agree with you. So we need to agree with God's promise and declare it. I can see my loved ones all one to Jesus Christ, for God has promised that if I believe on Lord Jesus Christ, not only would I be saved, but also by believing my whole household will be saved as well. I shall never fear that my loved ones will be lost forever in hell. I can see all my loved ones saved because I am God's instrument to believe for their salvation. Realization can only follow confession. We walk in the light of our verbal testimony. The word becomes real only as we confess its reality. You know what? Satan fears our testimony. If you confess something with your mouth, it reacts upon your heart or your spirit. When we confess what we are in Christ, then we act out our confession. That's what we're doing when we confess it. If we confess our fears, folks, that's what's going to rule you. If we confess our sicknesses and disease, it's going to assert its lordship over our bodies more so. And if we confess our freedom, that the Son has made us free, God makes that confession a reality. When we realize that Jesus met defeat and conquered it, and we dare to make that confession, defeat and failure lose their dominion over us. We always ought to think faith thoughts and speak in faith words, and that leads the heart out of defeat into victory. When we confess His words, He watches over to make it good. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no action on the part of God without our confession, because Christianity is called the Great Confession. Hebrews 3:1 says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus. Hebrews 4:14, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What's the confession to which we are to hold fast? Well, that in Him we have perfect redemption. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And that redemption never becomes a reality until we confess it. There's too few of us out there that seem to grasp this particular known fact. And in the face of an apparent defeat, we confess our redemption and deliverance, and folks, it becomes a reality. We don't ask for redemption. We thank Him for it. That redemption was wrought according to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Knowing that ye were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. Folks, that ain't a promise, that's a fact. We confess that we're new creations created in Christ Jesus. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And do we dare to say in Ephesians 2 and 10, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. We know that we're not only redeemed and that we're made new creations, but also that we are reconciled, and we dare confess it before the world. We confess our redemption from the hand of Satan, that he's unable to put anything on us, any kind of disease or hold us in any kind of bondage at all. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That word there is logos. They overcame the adversary because of the blood of the Lamb and the logos that was in their testimony. They rested on that integrity of the word. And they dared to confess that what God said was true. Romans 4 and 25 says this. He said, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, confess that now, because it's true now. Confess your righteousness in Christ. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ, and we declare this before the whole world. And we confess that God Himself has become our righteousness. Romans 3 and 26 tells us that. By the new birth and the Spirit, we have been made the very righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's God's own declaration of what we are now. Not what we want to be, but what God has made us to be now. 1 Peter 2:24 declares that we are healed. Says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That work is already done, folks. It's not a problem of getting our healing, no problem of faith. It's a problem of the integrity of the Word of God. Can you depend upon that Word? And Jeremiah 1:12 declares this, I'll watch over my Word to perform it. And our confession has to be a confession of the absolute faithfulness of the Word of God, of His finished work, and of the reality of our relationship as sons and daughters of God. You know, our words determine our faith, and our words are our confession. And if I continually confess lack, then I believe in lack. My confession is going to become a reality. And I confess the things that I believe. If I believe in failure and weakness, I'm going to confess it. And I'll live up to the standard of my confession. And if I dare to say that Psalms 34:10 is true, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And if I stand by my confession, God will make good all that I have confessed. Psalms 84, verses 11 and 12. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. And do I dare confess Proverbs 3 and 5 that says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Folks, that's his guidance. Not only is it deliverance from conditions, but it is a guidance into his will, into the paths of plenty. Glory to God. Philippians 4:19. That becomes the song of our heart. It should be. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Man, that's a great confession there. The heart waxes strong when you confess that. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God's under obligation to stand by and to care for his own. And he's not going to fail us. Psalms 118 and 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Isaiah 41 and 10 says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Folks, that's God's challenge. And I dare confess it before the world. What a confession it makes, right? God says to me personally, don't be afraid, child. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I am your God. And he was Israel's God. You remember what happened to Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the Philistines? You remember what happened to all the nations that laid their hands upon Israel while they were keeping the covenant? 1 Chronicles 16:22 says, touch not mine anointed. He'll take care of us just like he took care of them. And he'll be our protector and caretaker. Jesus said that faith would win. Well, faith has won. We are witnesses of this. The Bible is God's confession. The more I read it, the more this great truth overshadows everything from Genesis to Revelation. And it's a continual confession of his greatness, of his ability, of his love, and of his great Father's heart. Jesus, as you see him in the four Gospels, is continually making confessions. He is the great shepherd. He is the light of the world. He said in John 10:11, I am the great shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Folks, those are tremendous confessions. John 10:29 says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:29. Jesus' confession led him straight to Calvary. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God in John 5 and 18. The fearless confessions of men down through the ages have given to us our ages. Faith gives courage to confession, and confession gives boldness to faith. Your confession lines you up, gives you your place, establishes your position. And we know what you are. If you're silent, we can't place you. And by your confession, you are saved or lost. And by your confession, you have plenty or you lack. And by your confession, you are weak or you are strong. And you are what you confess with your lips and what you believe in your heart. Your confession of failure keeps you in the realm of failure. Your confession of God's ability in your case puts you over, glory to God. Proverbs 6 and 2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Folks, we're snared by our confessions. Or we are set free with the words of our confession. So we need to make our confessions harmonize with the word of God. It ain't going to harmonize with sense knowledge. And don't try to make it. Sense knowledge calls it presumption or fanaticism, but God calls it faith. And he honors that. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. God's done all that can be done for us. He says that his redemption is complete. We confess that it's already done. We take our place. We call ourselves by the name that he has called us, acknowledging all that the word says is ours. And we now declare that all God has spoken is true in our case. John chapter 8 and verse 32 said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Folks, the truth is going to make you free. You declare that whom the Son has made free is free in reality. That sin can't lord it over you any longer. That disease and sickness can't lord it over you any longer. Romans 6 and 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you or lord it over you. Romans 6 and 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you or lord it over you. Folks, worry and anxiety cannot lord it over you. Satan's dominion is ended this day. You stand complete in Christ. Glory to God. And a few of us have realized that the power of his word on our lips. He said in Mark 16 and 19, or 18, I'm sorry, that those who believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. John 14 and 13 said, whatsoever ye shall ask or demand in my name, that will I do. Acts 3 deals with the story of the name on Peter's lips. He said, look on us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And if you don't use the name can't do anything for you. But if you will use the name, it will be just like the Father's name was on Jesus' lips. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 18 through 37, we're reminded of how the place was shaken by the name of Jesus. Verse 18 says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. The name that was on their lips had shaken Jerusalem to its very core, to its very foundation. Acts 16 and 18 shows the power on the name on Paul's lips. He said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. That girl was healed and delivered right then. John 15 and 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The word on your lips not only makes you free, but folks, it sets others free as well. The word on your lips heals the sick, and the word on your lips creates faith in the hearts of those that hear you. And that word on your lips will change lives as they listen. It's the very life of God in those words, out of His word. And of course, we know the Bible is God's word. And on the lips of love and faith, every word is God-filled. Our daily conversation is the great confession. We confess Christ before the world. We confess the fullness of His grace. We confess the integrity of the revelation. And our first confession is this, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, we found a perfect redemption, and we confess it to the world. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, Peter said, He is Lord of all. Man, that ought to thrill our heart. He is the Lord of the three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. Every knee bows to that name. And with joy we confess, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Jeremiah 16:19, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I say to the world, the Lord Jesus is my supply. He is my shepherd. I do not want. And there's a grave danger of our making a wrong confession, a wrong affirmation. When we confess our fears and we confess our doubts, we give Satan dominion over our lives. When we confess our sickness, that confession binds our wills as captives and holds us in absolute slavery. When we confess want and lack of money, then want comes like an armed man and holds us in bondage. And when we confess lack of ability, we do so in the face of the fact that God said He is the strength of our lives. Folks, I'm going to tell you, these confessions of failure shut the Father God out, and they let Satan in, and they give Satan the right of way. These confessions repudiate the word of God. They honor Satan. What should we confess then? Well, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. You're not afraid anymore, and you confess it. John 10:29, my Father is greater than all. Our words either imprison us or they set us free. Our words put us in bondage or they keep us from our freedom and our liberty in Christ. Malachi 3:13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. That's when our words war with His word. I had a person come to me the other day and said, I've been prayed for, but I didn't get no deliverance. Her words contradicted the very word of God. His word says in Mark 16:17-18, if you will ask anything of the Father, He will give it you in Jesus' name. Them that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And they repudiated it. They denied that the word was true. And those words were warring against the word of God. They had unconsciously taken an attitude of mind that was completely against the word of God. They didn't intend to, but they did it. And that very attitude held them in bondage. And as I talked with them, I could see that they wasn't really getting what I was saying. And when I prayed for them, they were freed from pain. But they kept on whining. There was no confession of victory in their lips. Folks, there's always a danger of a mental assent confession. Mental assent recognizes the truthfulness of the word, but they never act on it. its confession is, oh yeah, there's healing in the word. There's salvation and deliverance in the word, but, and on the other hand, faith joyfully confesses its victory. Its joy is a celebration. It is a triumph over the witnesses of the senses. Folks, faith gives a sense of security, of absolute assurance, of quietness. When this breaks forth in confession, it becomes a reality. The heart has to be rooted and grounded in the word and in love. Acts 19 and 20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Faith is simply the word prevailing over every sense evidence. Acts 20 and 32 gives us a striking illustration. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Folks, it's the word that establishes. It's the word that builds. It's the word of his grace that builds faith into the heart of every believer. Jesus' confession demands more careful attention. Now here's 10 claims of Jesus, and every one of them puts him into the class of deity. I need you to listen to them carefully, and then you can put them in your Bible and mark under them. First, John 5:19-20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. John chapter 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name. John 5:46, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me. John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Folks, that's a tremendous confession right there. Number 5, John chapter 6, verses 47 and 51. He that believes hath eternal life. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. John chapter 7, verse 29. I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. John chapter 8, verse 29. I do always those things that please him. John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Glory to God. And that's just a very few of Jesus' confessions. And do we dare to confess what we are in Christ and what we have in Christ? There we confess John chapter 1, verse 16, of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Folks, we have received his fullness, but it hadn't done us a bit of good because we failed to translate it into a confession. Every believer knows that God laid his disease on Jesus, yet he fears to make the confession and to act on that word. And that fear, folks, is coming from the enemy. It indicates that we've got more confidence in the enemy than we have in the word of God. And we confess that what he says is true. Then we demonstrate it in our daily lives. There's no confession in the lives of a whole bunch of folks. There's a lot of prayer, but there's not much confession that the word is true. And I don't mean confession of sin. Now, I had a person said, after we prayed for her and opened the word, she asked me to keep on praying for her. Well, she confessed that the word was a lie. You are to confess that you can do what he says you can do, that you are what the word says you are. He says that you're a new creation created in Jesus Christ. He says that you're more than a victor, that you are an overcomer. He made you to be a son, a daughter of God Almighty, an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ Jesus. You can do all things in him who is your strength, Philippians 4:13 says. And what he says I can do, I declare that I can do it. And what he says that I am, I declare that I am. I make my confessions boldly to everybody. You make your confession, God is my father. I am his child. And as a son is his family, I'm taking my place. I'm acting my part. I am in Christ and Christ is in me, glory to God. And just remember that the Father will be to you what you confess him to be to you. And if your prayer is not answered, hold fast to your confession. If the name of Jesus does not give instant deliverance, hold fast to your confession. If the money doesn't come right away, stand by your confession. Luke 1:37 says, no word from God shall be void of power. The word has to accomplish the will of the Father. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. There's a danger of praying then going back on your prayer. When you pray for some need and declare that that need is not met, you have just nullified your prayer. You have repudiated your prayer. But as we know, prayer is answered. His word is real. Don't annul the word by negative confession. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now here's a list of the things that I am not. I am not sick, for my Lord heals me of all my diseases. Psalms 103:3. I am not bound, for the Son has made me free. John 8:36. I am not defeated, for I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Romans 8:37. I am not weak, for the Lord will give strength unto his people. Psalms 29:11. I am not without power, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. I am not without peace, for being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. I am not lacking any good thing, for no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11. I am not overtaken by any evil work, for the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4:18. I am not afraid of any plague, for there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Psalm 91:10. I am not running from the devil, for I am resisting the devil, and he is fleeing from me. James 4:7. I am not without daily quickening, for he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8:11. I am not shackled by sin, demons, or fear. Daniel 6:16 says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I'm not in a losing battle, for the Lord will fight for me and I will hold my peace. Exodus 14:14. I am not without joy. His joy shall be in me and my joy shall be full. John 15:11. I shall not fail to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. I am not oppressed by cares, difficulties, and troubles. I am casting all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7. Now, here's what we can do. And the secret of this message today is to confess aloud each affirmation and make it personal. to your own life. And then you'll be called one of God's used ones. That indomitable Christian who really gets things done through Christ that dwells in you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Folks, the Bible is God's word. When God says a thing, he means it. I can do, Jesus said, in my name, you cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:17-18. I can do that. In his name, I can cast out demons and minister healing to the sick. Declare these for yourself. Psalms 37:4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I can have the desires of my heart for I am delighting myself in the Lord. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 1:8. I can witness in power because I have the Holy Spirit in my life. Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes we are healed. I can possess healing and health, for by his stripes I am healed. John 13:34 says, love one another as I have loved you. I can love others even as Jesus loved me, for his love is shed abroad in my heart. Romans 5:5. I love with his love. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ Jesus is made unto us wisdom. Folks, I can have divine wisdom in every crisis if I confess it. For Christ himself is my very wisdom. And he lives inside of us. And so we can rely on that. Proverbs 28:1 said, the righteous are bold as a lion. I can be as bold as a lion. For I have been made righteous with his righteousness. Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Folks, I can do exploits. You can do exploits. For we know our God who makes us strong. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I can enjoy all things that pertain to both life and godliness. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God, glory to God. Folks, keep on confessing a good confession. Get those scriptures out of the epistles, out of the Word of God, out of the Psalms, out of the whole Bible that tells you who you are and start confessing them daily. And you'll see a change in your life. And I thank you, Lord God, for your Word that gives us those that tells us who we are in Christ. Folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.